96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Gentlemen, take your marks, set.
And gentlemen all around the world. I thank each and every one of you for tuning in to Trackwheel with Alpheus Finlayson on Guardian Radio 96.9. And you will have just get carried away. For those who watch and listen to various platforms, we appreciate you. Trackwheel is brought to you by Sun Oil Limited, Arawak Homes, Sunshine Insurance, my bestseller book from Vancouver to Athens, 50 years of Bahamian International Track and Field Competition, and Vaughan L. Kalmer, insurance agents and brokers. I have been a financial services representative at Kalina for 43 years. My business partner is my daughter, Alexis Hannah. We have a love affair with our clientele. We are the A-team at Kalina and appreciate each and every one of you. And I'll tell you, we have a love affair for our clientele. And, of course, a love affair for Kalina. And with that in mind, I will ask somebody to come in. Who's the other person coming in? Please do. You know who you are. And who is this person? Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Stan, let me tell you about this. He was supposed to be here last...
Yeah.
He was supposed to be here on last week's show, but he came too late. And I say, because he talked to me a long time ago that he was going to be here in the studio. And here he is. And this is Michael Newbold. Everybody knows who Michael Newbold is?
Boy Blue.
And Boy Blue. Okay? But I have something to show you, my brother. And Adam. Peter.
Yes.
Talk with Adam about the pioneers. Now, we are not concentrating on the pioneers, but there are things that you and Adam know.
No,
you're sitting there.
Quite frankly,
this is okay? No. Anyhow, we'll continue and we'll find a way to get it going. But talk yourself. You can hear it?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead. Boy Blue, Fresno State. And guess what? You won an event in, it would have been in...
1987?
No, not there. I'm talking about you won an event in Trinidad. People say, I can't remember anything, but I remember those things.
You remember that? 200 meters at the Hampton Games.
And yeah, 200 meters at the Hampton Games.
The Hampton Games back in 1988.
Let me ask you this. Who broke that record?
Where, in Trinidad?
Yeah, in Trinidad. I mean, which Bahamian broke that record that you did in Trinidad?
Was it Dirty? Steven?
Steven! Dirty! And guess who it went from there? From Dirty... to, what's his name, Stephen Gardner. I was at the stadium, and I told Stephen Gardner he's going to be the best 200 and 400 meter in the world. And that's where he is. That is where he is. So, Skinner,
yes.
Tell us something. Spence knows about it. Would you believe that the pioneers went to Miami, and from Miami, what did we do, Peter? An indoor championships in Tennessee. So Tennessee. Tell us about it. 10 degrees.
Man, let me tell you. For me, the Pioneer Sporting Club meant so much. And on a trip, was with the club. And remember, we went, our first trip was to Gainesville, Florida, University of Florida in Gainesville.
Right, of course.
And I remember several weeks before that, Keith Parker was trying to get me involved with running the hurdles.
Yeah, that's true?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he was trying to get me to run the hurdles.
And your son ran the hurdles, eh?
Yeah, and he was very good.
Very good, too, yes.
Yeah. But, I was afraid of running the hurdles. I was always afraid of clipping one of those things. But anyway, the club organized the trip to Gainesville, and it was a most memorable experience for me. I could remember Alpheus us driving up. I don't think Adam was in our car. I know you weren't, because you were singing Alfie. You were singing the song Alfie.
What's it all about?
Yeah, you were singing that. And I could remember all the cornfields that we were passing for hours just driving up. And I could remember Michael Jackson singing that song. Oh, Lord. Every time I hear it, my
mind. Beat it.
No.
Not beat it, another one.
Yeah. Oh, man, I can't forget. It'll come to me.
I talk about Beat It because our son, whenever he heard Beat It, he didn't like that song. And as a matter of fact, I think he did go with my my brother. Uh-huh. They went to see Michael Jackson in Miami.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
Yeah, so the trip, being my first time ever off the island and going up and experiencing the trip up and stopping to some of those stops, you know, to get something to eat, snacks and so on. And then when we got to the camp, it just blew my mind. Just a beautiful, beautiful place. And I could remember us registering mm-hmm. for the meet the following day or two or whatever. And then we went to our rooms and so on. Then the next morning, getting up and going to this cafeteria that we went to this restaurant for breakfast. And
in Tennessee?
No. We're talking to Gainesville. No.
Oh, Gainesville. Yeah, Gainesville.
And memorable. And then I could remember, because, you know, when we left here, we used the cinder track.
Yes.
And I could not break 52 point. Into the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up there and I was in the relay and I ran a 49.8. But the problem is, the thing is, the surface of the track was so much more
mm-hmm.
different and more faster as well.
Yes, yes.
And so, and the coach, Gaines, I remember him coming up to me and asked me if I wanted a scholarship up there. Because I think Parker had spoken to him about getting
there. But of course.
Yeah.
He is unbelievable, but I won't talk about that. I'll talk about that outside.
Yeah, but I said, no, I was working at Batelco at the time, and me getting up early in the morning training.
But of course.
I wasn't into that, but that running on that surface for the first time, man. And I was beginning to wonder why we were running such slow times here. But the pioneers, and I want to talk about the pioneers. The pioneers, for me, represented so much of life lessons and getting to meet Adam and getting to meet you, Alpheus, and Amos, and all the athletes like Walter Callender and all of the Roberts brothers. And it was just such a wonderful experience. And I could remember every weekend, during the week, coming from work to the track and working out with Crawford and all the athletes. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And for me, track and field establishes lifelong friendships, and not only lifelong friendships, but also you get to know a lot about yourself. And you get to know what your abilities are, apart from the friendships and the experiences and the travel. You learn all about how to deal with problems in life. And I always remember mailman Rodney Russell saying to me one time, he said, you know, for me, because he had his own business then, for me, he said to me, the 400 meters, the quarter mile, he related that to his business and how to deal with business. And by that he meant that you run a certain distance and then you rest and then you prepare yourself for the finish line. And I always thought of that as being a strategy that one have to use in dealing with life, with business. But I, even today, I remember all the memories from the track events and the meets and all those sort of things. And so for me, the pioneers and the meetings on Sundays and going around to Adam's house and meeting Adam and meeting his family and spending time, when he would go off to the States, he would leave me to take care of his house. And so you get a chance to not only establish lifelong friendships, but you also learn about yourself and learn about life and learn about how to deal with people. And then with the pioneers, Alpheus and Adam used to get me involved with the fundraising. And I was thinking about it today, thinking how the skills, Alpheus would just say, okay, He would give me the list of the companies to go to and get financing from. And I can remember going around among, because I was always a shy person, but all those things kind of got me to be a little bit more confident. And I can remember going to the Tribune and going to Malone. Remember he had a liquor?
Of course.
And I could remember that gentleman, never once I bended asking for financing that he didn't comply. He didn't give us a check. And then I could remember one time going to the Tribune to Etienne Depuch. And Etienne, I could remember him asking me what party I supported.
Etienne Depuch.
Yeah. But having being thrust into doing things that I've never done before, and coming down to the track and running, because running has always been something that I love. My father used to run distance running as well, but the running and the training and so on was just a part of what has made me who I am today.
Let me interject. Mm-hmm. Michael Sands, you remember the independence event at the stadium per se? Was in the morning, was in the afternoon, in the evening. And in that day, you were able to win the 1, 2, and 400 meters. Talk about that.
Well, you know, I never gave it a second thought. First of all, I like to say that I started off being a donkey. You know what a donkey is? In other words, yeah. And I ended up with the Pioneers, obviously, living in on Union Village at the time, originally from around that area, Amos Ferguson, down the street.
Down the street, yeah.
The meetings are held in Mont Royal Avenue, I think, around Gus Cooper and those, and I got to meet, like you, got to meet the guys. But I was a donkey. Right, I wanted to learn how to run, and you know, I tried to run with Don Hyland and them, and they wouldn't allow me. They tell me, and there's a real story if you give me a minute. Right, I used to go on Southern Senior Ground and watch them train. Don Hyland, Robert Johnson, Willie Morse, and those.
Yeah.
And I said, "Man, can you all teach me how to run? I want to run like y'all," because they were a couple of years older than me. Uh-huh. They said, "Boy, go from around here. You can't run with us, right?" And they hurt my feelings. Uh-huh. I said, "That's okay." I said, "One of these days, I can learn to run, and I can beat all of y'all." That's what I said, right? And then I remember going to Willie Morris. And I said, "Willie," I said, "tell me what you do,
what you do
to run so fast," right? You know what he said to me? "Smoke cigarette and drink beer." if you knew Willie Morris, that was him, right?
He's gone.
But the long and short of it is, I got involved in the sport. I mean, other than running around Bahamas Academy's yard, eventually I matriculated to high school in New York. And I ended up joining the New York Pioneer Track Club
because
the first international coach the Bahamas had was Mr. Joe Yancey.
Yeah.
Right, he was international, and so he heard about me when I started running in Sheepshead Bay, and he came looking for me, and you know, we developed that relationship. And then the running for me was so much fun. That's why when I hear the kids, they talking about shutting down the season and doing this and doing that, I kind of smiled, because our championships was one day.
One day.
And we all knew they would know, right? You come in the morning, you run the heats and the semis, Doyle get on the tractor, roll the track,
you go
home to your house, you relax, you come back, you come back and you run the finals.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't being conditioned well enough, I just thought that, let me just go and do this, right? And I just went ahead and I did it, and I never gave it a second thought as to really what I was doing or what I was accomplishing at the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I feel good about it, and it seems that a lot more persons remember it and recognize it for what it's worth. You know, that was back in 71, 74, 5, somebody, but I don't know, you know. But I enjoyed it.
Let me tell you one thing. Charlene Thompson is watching, and Ian Rutherford is watching. But, Mike, I had the opportunity to talk, Guardian Radio, by the fellow who is now in charge of USA Track and Field. You remember that? You know him very well.
Who?
Eugene, Oregon. Not Larry.
You mean Vin Nanana?
Vin
Nanana.
And I had an opportunity to speak with him right in the studio. And that is important. But one other thing I needed to see was that y'all know who Mike Sands is. Mm-hmm. Mike Sands is the head of the North American, Central American, and Central American body. And guess what? Mike had gone through all kind of things in his life. And he is here now. And the world body, that's what I'm talking about. And Mike and myself were the only ones, I'm talking about the pioneer now, I'm not talking about others, no, nobody else, who have been on the world body. Isn't that so?
Go ahead, other than Pauline.
Yes.
Other than Pauline.
Yeah, but she was not.
Yeah, well, we're talking about pioneers. Well, yes, we're talking about pioneer alums, and we have to be proud. I think the pioneers have produced some good citizens in this country. I mean, I reflect now and I think of how Adam Windows did it. I don't know, and Asa. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not speaking about Pine. I'm talking about Asa Ferguson, but the,
yeah.
I'm talking about the treasurers.
Asa
now.
Ferguson.
I'm talking about the treasurers. The treasurers of the organization, mm-hmm. you know, who gave their time. People still give their time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different breed. Mm-hmm. Adam and those were a different breed. And the thing is, we never even knew or even concerned ourselves as to how things happened. We just knew that it happened because of the commitment and the professionalism mm-hmm. that they brought to the table. And I always admired that. And I've never attempted to... So I'm going to try to fill those shoes, but rather just to walk in the footsteps and the examples that were set by the persons such as Adam and Ace. And, of course, you know, Alpheus, I can't tell him no. You know, he's getting my nerves sometimes, but, you know, he's been with me through thick and thin.
Persistent.
And
so,
he's been, you know, as a matter of fact, if it wasn't for him, I probably would not have still been engaged in the sport because I was in Atlanta and he asked me to be involved as an athlete rep. So
and we had them
so
all
that
over
that
the
happened,
place.
You know, so this athlete rep didn't just start. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in Atlanta for a number of years working with Bahamas Air. And so Alpheus thought that was, you know, an opportune time to sort of be able to help maintain the liaison with the athletes. And then of course, I went to the ranks. You know, of course, public relations was being a public relations officer of the B3As. I mean, so that all of that evolved from being a part, and this is what we talk about, that sports develops, you know, character, discipline.
Yeah.
And I think we all know, and I ain't no secret because I could talk it now, right? I mean, not to be proud of it, but I was a disgusting person when I was younger. You know, what I'm saying is disgusting to the extent that you didn't set out to be disgusting, but for some reason we all have our various personalities, right? And at the end of the day, you do things and not recognizing the level of immaturity of what you're doing at the time, right? But then as you sit back and reflect now and you're working with young people, it's now easy to give guidance to say, hey, being bad ain't necessarily good. And you become your own worst enemy if you end up doing some things that it could be contrary. Mm-hmm. And I'm at the stage in my life now where I recognize that. And I'm appreciative and thankful for the influences. And sometimes you don't say it often enough. And, you know, Adam was never one to talk plenty, right? But at the end of the day, I think they understand and appreciate, you know, that they have actually set a good example, certainly for persons such as myself, to be able to follow, to sit here now and say, thanks for the, you know, the discipline that they tried to instill in me. It didn't always work. But today now I see the effort that was put into it because we are where we are as young men and women. That we can be thankful to them for being a part of our lives.
Mike, do you remember, what's his name? Derek Cambridge.
Kimbo. Yeah.
Okay. We were at the Florida Relays. And guess who was there? Philip Rubens from Southern Illinois, where my friend, Steuben, Stewart knew, okay? And he won the first Bahamian to win an NCAA title. And then in Montreal, Mike, in the Olympics, he fouled three jumps. And guess what, Mike? He was still the top of the world, the top 10 in the world. Isn't that something else? That has to be something else. Because at the, you know, at the end of the event, whatever it is, he was one of the 10. Now, let's talk about a couple of other things. We had the opportunity to hang out with Jeffrey Gibson, who had just won the 400 hurdles in
Beijing.
In Beijing.
In Beijing.
Okay. And would you believe this? We had to get up early enough for them to see it in the Bahamas. You were there, Stanley, you were there, Mike, and there was somebody else who were there other than myself. I mean, people who are not Bahamian wanted to make it a point that they're part of us, if you understand what that is. Now, I talked about in the morning. Now, what I was talking about was Vin Villana, who is the voice, who's still the USA Track and Field. Mike, I had the opportunity to also go to Moscow. To Moscow. And would you believe this? I did it on Guardian Radio in Moscow. And wouldn't you believe this? That Putin was there. Mike, it was so far up. I don't know if at that point you were able to go to the World Championships in Moscow. But he was right there, and I had my glasses, and I was looking all the way. I guess he was sure that nobody was going to shoot at him. And you know how this thing has gone and all of that.
I was a little closer to him than you.
Okay. You were. Yeah. Tell us about it, Mike.
No. It was just, people like them that you hear about, and then you get to see them. It's almost like they're larger than life.
Of course.
Even though they're human, you're standing, I wouldn't say
right beside, close
proximity,
enough. Yeah.
But close enough that you just look at them in awe that here's this powerful person, but not in no huge stature in terms of physical stature. But he's a powerful world figure, and it is always interesting to be in the presence of any popular person,
yes.
Especially world figures. Such as him. Mm-hmm.
Boy, ain't that something else. Now I move on to talk about Elmer Garraway. The reason for Elmer Garraway is that she was a permanent secretary of the one of the ministers, ministries, maybe the one for education. And I had the opportunity to call Jeff Lloyd. And they had a cabinet meeting that evening. I say, you sure you could make it? And just like he said, he was right up here. And that is the only politician who ever spoke to me on Guardian Radio. It made a difference. A couple of other things as we go forward. We had the opportunity of going to see Debbie Ferguson in Houston, and we had a ton of people there, Mike, and University of Houston, and as I said, Beryl Eve was there, because it's close to where she is. And then I need to say that when you talk about officials, the person who is the official is Ralph McKinney. Your thoughts, Mike?
I can give somebody else a chance to,
anybody else?
No,
because you're not home. Yeah.
No, Ralph is the consummate official. I mean, Baku in and of itself, through the vision of Uncle Lou,
yeah.
Developed an organization, Baku, that really is the envy of our area, because they are an organized grouping. That people look to, as a matter of recall, when we had Grifter in Turks and Caicos with 206,
yeah.
206 to about 207, okay, they didn't have sufficient officials.
Yeah.
And I think we had about at least maybe 50 of our officials, mm-hmm. certified officials, that went down, right? And, you know, Ralph and Rosie Thompson, now deceased, right? When you talk about organized and structured, and you talk about not just being officials but becoming managers, those guys are bearing in mind that they are military men. And so at the end of the day, if you tell Ralph it's going to be 6 o'clock and the meeting's supposed to start at 6 o'clock, Ralph is going to be the first one there, right? So is Muzi, right? And when you see 6 o'clock come, he's tapping on his watch to say time to start. And so you have to admire people, especially since we deal in time in our sport. You know, and so Ralph and those guys are consummate officials to be commended for the time that they've given to the development of the sport.
Well, what I would wish to say is, what am I saying now? People who have passed, okay? Just recently, Thelma McSweeney. Lee Callender, Alfonso Smith, North Andrus. When I went to Pancho's event in North and that era, Alfonso Smith had a sister who was allowing me to stay where she lived for low cost. The other one that you would know, Mike, is the Ronald Short Pinder.
Captain.
And then I just want to mention several people that needs to be mentioned is athletes who passed. Well, of course, Tommy Robinson. Mike, remember when we went to Helsinki? Yeah. Oh, man. Tommy decided that he wasn't going to the track that day. And he would come. I was at the first, the same floor, and he would stay with me for until about 4 o'clock in the morning, drinking and talking. That's how you get to know people, Mike.
You know, we all have so many fond memories of Tommy, and Tommy will always be my hero. Mm-hmm. And I have one painful memory of Tommy, though. When I started off in this sport, I always wanted to be Tommy Robinson, mm-hmm. right? And I always wanted to be like him and hope that someday I could run with him.
Mm-hmm.
My painful memory is that my first, I can date myself now, but my first representation for this country was at the Commonwealth Games. I was a high schooler, the youngest member of the team. I was a high schooler, a junior in high school in Edinburgh, Scotland. And the relay team consisted of Dr. Bernard Nottage, who would start off the relay, Kevin Johnson on the second leg, and the little junior high school boy, myself, on the third leg, and Tommy Robinson on the anchor leg. Mm-hmm. And I think we had a very, very good competitive team. I think it would have been between us and Jamaica. And so our batons were perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I got hurt, right? And so I was pulled from the 100 or 200 as well, because the weather in Scotland was not nice.
No joke.
I got pulled from there and obviously from the relay, right? And every time I remind Tommy of it, that was my painful thing, right? Because I couldn't get to run with Tommy in that relay. That hurt me because that was 2 years after Mexico and that was supposed to be his retirement, mm-hmm. right? And I jokingly said, you know, if they'd put me on the anchor and put Tommy on the second, then it would have been, or the third, given me the baton as a carry on, maybe I wouldn't have got hurt. But more important than that, and comically, they pulled me from the relay, and the next go-to person was Jerry Wisdom. Okay, now, interestingly enough, they all are deceased, right? But the painful part of it is that...
Les Miller is still here.
Well, I'm talking about that particular relay team.
Okay.
Okay, Kevin...
Oh, Kevin.
Kevin. Yeah.
We're not talking about...
Kevin, BJ, and I'm Jerry, and Tommy. Wow. And I'm saying... and so I never got to run with Tommy, and that's the painful part for me because I never got to run with him. In the meantime, too, Jerry Wisdom was never able to get the stick to Tommy either. Okay, and so we were in the lead. I mean, BJ came out of the blocks and we was humming. Mm-hmm. Kevin Johnson took that baton and down the backstretch in the venue. You remember how Kevin Johnson used to run? That neck used to be coming out there, rotating that neck, right? And he ran up on Jerry. We knew we were in trouble because we were us in Jamaica were neck and neck. And he got the stick to Jerry, and Tommy must have only given Jerry about 12 steps. Mm-hmm. And Jerry still couldn't, when Tommy took off,
yeah.
Jerry couldn't catch him. So we ended up running out of the zone, and we never completed the relay. And so that was my painful memory of being a part of that team and Tommy. But, you know, what else can we say about the great Tommy Robinson? You know, he set the pace, and we walked in his footsteps.
Well, I am sure that other people want to hear what happened. And the numbers to call are 323-6232. 325-4516, 4316, and 325-4259. Okay, the numbers to call again are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And the the text line powered by BTC is none other than 4224796. And I wish that somebody would call in. Don't be shy. You're not gonna have this opportunity again. Maybe some other place, but not track wheel with Alpheus Findlayson. The numbers to call, once more, going the other way, 325-4259, 325-4316, 323-6232. Is there something that you want to ask that you're not aware of? Boy Blue?
I kind of want to kind of piggyback off what Mike had said earlier. You know, I always, after track and field, I always wanted to be just a twig on that, you know, on these guys' back, on that big tree branch. And that's, you know, that's what's so nostalgic about it, because mm-hmm. I was Mike Sands. I was Bradley Cooper.
Yes.
Sean L. Ferguson. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, you mimic all of them. And Bradley was a big guy. He threw the discus, but I found myself trying to do all that. I was Stephen Gray, you know, wanted to do all this stuff. And when you look back at all the greats, you know, that's where it started. For me, I vaguely remember Tommy, but it was Mike, Rudy. Mm-hmm. I ran a little bit with Fabian, but I always admire what these guys did. And I became who I am because I wanted to be like these guys. And when Mike said he was a nuisance, you know, you had to be like that in order to succeed in the sport. You had to have a little arrogance, a little air about yourself, because if not, you know, these guys would eat you up. And you know, and it was nothing personal, but that's just you know, the aura you had to walk with, and you know, to be great and to be the best. So I look back on all those things, and that's what I admired most, because a lot of people, you know, Marianne Higgs. You know, I remember that, and it was awesome. Ricky Moxie.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I mean, we had a lot of greats roll through here, man.
And Boy Blue, just to Boy Blue's point, if I might, right? We talked about the little arrogance and stuff, right? And I remember the little antics that we used to do. We had a dirt track, right? Now, everybody who knew me knew that I really didn't have no start compared to Clive Sands or even Danny Smith or Phil Delaney on those guys, right?
Clive was one of us, and he's still here.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
And so I knew that I really made up my mind that I could not try to beat these guys out of the blocks, right? So my psyche is, a lot of people never realize it, right? But we set the blocks and we start, and then as we're doing our little warm-up, right? I would come and I would mark an X, because don't forget it's dirt track now, so I'd mark an X over here, then I'd mark another X here. And Clive X was way up there, almost at 80 meters, right? So walking back in the starting line, getting ready to start the race, all I'd say to the guys, I say, see that X here? When you see that X, that's me. I can be hitting you on that one. I hit you there, right? And Clive was way up there at 80 meters, so I said, you can hear my footsteps when I come in a few 80 meters, right? So that, so I knew that threw them off, right? Because, but then it goes back to the confidence level that you have to have, right? It's like Muhammad Ali, whether you believe it or not, you did it and you believed that it happened. And that's how we did it, because I knew I wasn't going to beat these fellas out of the blocks. But I knew that at 40, 60, 70 meters, I can pick up the ones who I know I can pick up at the point. You know?
Do you remember, Skinner, when we went to Jamaica?
No, I didn't go. Mailman went, I think.
Yeah, but Mailman, you know, we are driving, and Mailman say, put it down to the... He's yeah, scared of, you know, Jamaican people know how to drive, you know? Know how to drive, know how to drive. And now we have one of the first set of athletes, a jumper, a sprinter. And what is your name, young lady?
Well, I got a couple of names.
don't give it all out.
I'll give, hello everybody, hello Bahamas, hello world. It is such a great pleasure to be on this final show of Alf Track World with Althea Spinnerson, the seminal radio show on track and field. Mm-hmm. My name is Chanel Laverne Ferguson. That's the name my parents gave me, Miriam Maud Bratt. Now, I made the Pan Am team as a schoolgirl, Mexico City, and it was cold. I think it was late in the year, might have been September, October, because they had to let me out of school to go. And Sterling Kwan, who was 6 foot?
7 feet.
No, 7 feet. He lent me his overcoat, which was taller than I was. I was only 5'7". And so we had this big coat, the long arms, and I'm flapping around. And somebody who's sitting to the left of me, who all you all know, decided I look like a Tweety Bird. From that day to this day, I'm Tweety.
Tweety
Bird.
Yeah. So what Philippa did, I did all kind of things, what we were going to do, what we were going to do. But you know what Philippa said? We should have talk as much as we can about track and field, okay? About not track and field, but our time from years gone by. Let me tell you when the show started. When my son-in-law called me and he said, "The baby born," and 9.5 years later, the baby is little older, and I always remember that. But what I'm saying one more time, there should be somebody who could talk about a question. Anybody? 323. 6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. And if nobody answers that, I do have, somebody was watching the show, Auckland's Creekside, Bonefish, my friend out of Auckland's, she said she was going to make it a point to watch the show. Owen Burrows, I think that's our man's son. You know what I'm talking about. Sandy?
I have no idea.
No, he is the... anyhow, I'll talk about that later. Now, let me say this. We get to the point of something that I would wish to say. We're talking about our people who passed, okay? And one of the people who passed was none... Well, we mentioned Tommy. Anybody remember Hector Brown?
My personal mentor.
That's right.
And friend.
That's right. Significant. And then we talk about Julian Brown. And then Hugh Bullard went to the Olympics with Tommy. And guess what? They were young boys. You bullet.
Julian was, you were sitting
unbelievable.
He was running.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. You know, he was in Jamaica, and he got whatever, stamped or whatever it was.
That was Julian. Yeah.
That's Julian, that's what
in
I'm saying.
In the 800 meters.
In the 800 meters, yeah.
The twin brothers,
never
I still
back,
don't
yeah.
like them.
Mal
and Mel Spence.
Mel Spence,
Spike,
yeah.
My boy said, we can get him. He looked too good.
Yeah. And then a younger pioneer is called Trevor McPhee. His wife is Zenotra McPhee. He died recently. And guess who his brother is? Ron McPhee. Ron McPhee went to Iowa State and all of that. He was the person who had the decathlon championships after Sydney.
After Sydney, that's right.
After Sydney. And then we're talking about Amberstein
Sweeting.
Yeah. She was something else. She had a national record and all of that.
She wasn't that tall, but she could move.
No. And you know, when they went down to the meet, one of the countries, when that plane got up and down, it is something else. And then we're talking about Kendall Munnings. Who has remembered Kendall Munnings with regards to track and field in the Bahamas? You, Mike?
Not so much. Was he a treasurer also?
The treasurer.
He was a treasurer. I remember him being a treasurer.
Yeah.
I remember being a treasurer.
But you know the significance of that is that when former Minister of Sports, what's his name? Allen.
Algie
Allen. When Troy and Pauline did so well, walking back with Gus, this was a, we had people who gave us money to travel, but nobody came, and he came, and he said, well, it's going to be athletics in Atlanta. And so myself and Kendall were involved, and the person who was the big man, I'm...
Charlington?
Pardon me?
Charlington?
No.
In the U.S.?
No, he lives in the Bahamas.
Oh.
Anyhow, leave that alone. I'll tell you who it is. And then Dennis Richards.
Yes, Dennis was, he became a lawyer.
Yeah.
Became a lawyer?
He just passed about 2 years ago.
Yes,
two or three years ago.
Yeah. So what I have done, like,
high
jumper. He was the third person. He went to St. Aug. He was the third person to win to, with the medals. Okay? And then talking about the medals, Jerry was the one in Miami when the fella did 7 feet.
Talking about people who passed, I think Jerry Wisdom's last race.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in this room, this is a good trivia question too.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in this room was in that last race that Jerry Wisdom ran on the track here in the Bahamas.
He already spoke it. No.
Oh, Philippa is watching.
No, Tweety talking about something else.
Yeah.
She talking about the handicap race at the, was it the Bahamas Games or something? When they had this, when they had this crazy idea that they was going to have all of us on the track, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the Tommy in that race
Tommy.
Too? They give handicap by age. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah, and I think
I
end up pulling my muscle, I think, trying to catch these fellas. They give these fellas the handicap. Right? Tommy Robson only got to run but 30 meters. Right?
And they shut him down, Tommy.
Yeah, and I got to run but 100 meters, and everybody else running, you know.
And everybody needed oxygen afterwards.
Oh, yeah, I said I needed oxygen. I couldn't go away for 2 days. No, because I pulled the muscle also in that race, too. So.
Yeah.
So that was the opening, we carried the torch, wasn't it?
Yes.
The torch for the opening ceremonies, yeah.
Well, what I wish to see, person who passed, is none other than Tommy's best friend.
George,
we call him Georgie. And guess what? If nobody has this book, it is an unbelievable book. Unbelievable book. So,
Alpheus, yes. Sorry, didn't Georgie Capron also have a radio show?
Yeah.
He used to have.
Right after the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, on Saturdays.
Right, yeah.
And I listened to it.
Okay.
Yeah. He can write and he can speak.
He can write, man. You look at that book. It is unbelievable.
And he called Hubert Ingham a waterhead boy.
Anyhow, that's a topic.
Public.
That's a topic for another discussion. So, any other note or question anybody wants to say?
Well, just quickly, people who have passed, Stephen Ray.
Yes, Stephen Ray, yes.
What about Winston Strawn, another high jumper?
Yeah, he passed, yes.
He passed too.
Yes, yes.
My 200-meter runner, 800-meter runner who had the record, woman.
Vanetta Roe. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Something that is important for me, for her, is that she came to Nassau and gave me a call. She was living out west on Carmichael Road. I wondered if she wanted something from me. She said, no, Mr. Fair, because most athletes want something, okay? And so she said, no, Mr. Fenderson. And when she passed, I could not get to that funeral. But her daughter, I understand, is playing tennis, in North Atlanta, eh?
She's in California.
Man.
I'm real good friends with Paul Smith, Vanetta's husband.
Yeah.
Lived out in Houston, and I made it to that funeral, and it was tough.
Do you have a contact?
I think I can. Well, for Paul or her daughter?
The daughter.
I can get it.
I would appreciate that. Uh-huh. One thing.
Her name is and PJ. She has a son.
Uh-huh.
PJ. Oh, he'll be playing on Sunday soon.
Oh, he's okay.
Awesome. Yeah.
So what I wanted to say is that on Guardian Radio, just about every Bahamian athlete, I call and talk to them. All the way California, we didn't talk about Troy Kemp, but I'm saying that I am able to connect with them in those days. You know, and afterwards, we didn't have all of the we had more technology, but that's what it's about.
Can't forget Joey.
Joey Wells.
Yeah. When we leave, I'll have a story about Joey Wells. Yeah. He had
sixth
a problem with his leg.
Sixth place in the 84 Olympic Games. Joey was what, 18 years old?
And guess what? Wow. The sprinter, Carl Lewis, I saw a show that they had, and Carl was there, and Joey was there. One jump, you know, sixth place. And he beat somebody from Korea, I think, one of those places. Mm-hmm. Joey was just talented.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. That's what we wish to say. So, finally, anything else? I just want to, if we could cut the cake.
Alpheus, yes. I'm really concerned about the Corrupta Games next year. I was kind of expecting the Prime Minister to say that they were going to have the Corrupta Games here next year on our 50th.
That can't happen. You can't have Corrupta on the independence.
What do you mean?
Yeah, they're having it next year on our 50th anniversary.
tell me.
The Corrupta Games, the 50th edition of the Corrupta Games, will take place here in Nassau, Bahamas. Mm-hmm. During the Easter weekend, which
but
is
that's
from the
what I'm
6th.
Talking about, yes. Yeah.
Well, not independence, but I mean, because it's never independence.
No,
but it's always on the Easter weekend.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I will tell you that there was a proposal put to the Congress in Kingston, Jamaica, this past grifter, to determine whether or not there was interest by the members to have the dates move in general terms, because, you know, Easter is a very difficult time for many persons, right?
The major
plus for Easter weekend, it's a common holiday throughout the region, and that's what makes it easier. But beyond that, it becomes cost prohibitive to an extent because it's peak period for hotel accommodations for all of us, right?
Yeah.
But the fact remains is that the membership of NACAC and the Crifter family has expressed their interest in maintaining it there, so that question won't arise again, where do we move the Crifter to? The dates will remain the same. And the Bahamas has secured the vote, And so it is very, very, to secure the bid, and it's very, very timely because it's the 50th edition of CARIFTA, it's the 50th anniversary of the Bahamas independence, and it's the 50th anniversary of CARICOM, of which the Prime Minister will be the chairman. So we have 50-50-50 to celebrate. And the CARICOM, most of the CARICOM members are members of the CARIFTA family, and so it's going to be a huge celebration. So don't be concerned no more.
No, man, I'm really concerned because I'm wondering how we are going to be represented. I always felt that the team should have already been selected. I remember when they had CARIFTA in Jamaica. I think it was this year, the last CARIFTA.
This year.
The Jamaican team, I think, was competing down in Africa and so on. So they're all over the place. They to the pen relays, they do. Mm-hmm. Us, we wait for the last minute to select the team.
Not this time.
I'm not too sure, because we haven't been hearing anything about who is going to be on the team.
Well, you can't. It's difficult. First of all, the coaches, and I think we must, you know, give credit to our coaches. I think they've been doing over the years an awesome job. Because bearing in mind now, what is happening at this level started at this level. So the Shanae's and the Stevie Gardners and all of our top athletes would have come through the system that was discovered by our local coaches. But the coaches are working, and it's difficult to say pick the team now, but they all focus on CARIFTA. So when the trials happen 2 to 3 weeks before CARIFTA, then you can pick the team. But it's very, very difficult to pick the team this far in advance.
Because I believe...
You may say training squads is something different.
Yeah, right, precisely.
Okay,
so.
Okay, something...
So that the athletes are prepared to do... good times and to compete and to win gold medals as opposed to coming third, fourth, and fifth, and so on. And I'm thinking this is going to be our 50th. So we have to, if not win these games, at least we must come second. But we can't have the Jamaican team coming and taking all the gold medals and going.
Well, no, I understand your point, but let me disavow any concept. Okay. And I say this without fear of contradiction, and I may get in trouble for it, but we have to be realistic, right? And I say to my friends and colleagues and everybody else, let us take out of our minds right now that next April we will beat Jamaica in the Bahamas. Let's be real.
Yeah,
we need to determine and say we will close the gap and we will focus on improving our performances. Okay, but the reality is Jamaica's program has been so sustained, okay, that their school system is the strength of their program.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the Bahamas, our club system is the strength of our program. And a lot of our diamonds in the rough aren't necessarily being able to be identified because it's a club-based system where there's cost associated for these young people to be able to continue to train. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have a complete revamp of how we do business. I'm not criticizing, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not criticizing. I'm saying the system needs to be really, really looked at because let me give you a raw example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the kid that goes to C.R. Walker or goes to C.C. Sweeting, right? He has to walk to practice, try to find a way to get to practice. Whereby the kid that goes to one of the private schools, his parent can drop them to practice, wait for them, or come back and pick them up, right?
Yeah.
This kid, so it's easier for him with his friends and colleagues to say, man, what you going to practice for? Let's go this way. Mm-hmm. Compared to the parent taking the kids to practice and waiting for them, and then only that, the inner city kids having a challenge in being able to pay club dues to be able to continue to be a part of a club. So you see, it's not just one little problem to the big picture.
Yeah.
And so this is what we have to look at. But I think there's a lot of diamonds out there that we're losing because of circumstances.
I agree.
You know?
Can I say something to that? You'd be happy to know that the government, through the Prime Minister, has decided, because it's the 50th, because this government cares, that they're going to put a lot of money into finding those diamonds in the rough. As early as we can, even as late as we are, to see what we can do to actually say that every child in the Bahamas will have an opportunity to make the CARIFTA team. Teams are going to be sent out to all of the major islands, even some minor ones. If a coach calls and say, I have someone down here, please look at them. Either they're going to come up here or the people are going to go down to them. So it's well in hand. We started late like we always do, but we're trying to catch up.
Well, Philip Arnott says, everything is dark. I'll be in the camera. I don't want to sound up. Then Cheryl Bowe, Moss, she is watching the show. And Alexis says, certainly it's a great show. Now, with that in mind, I wish to, have we done with Ruzi? No? Chanel? No luck?
The producer tried to get through, it's not going through.
Okay. So, I really appreciate, what I want to say, for everybody in here, say that, we will be involved in our business. And what is our business? And who has been sponsoring the show is a number of other people. And what we will do, we will give them some certificates for people who put a significant amount of money with this 9.5 years, if you understand that. And what we will be involved in is the people who we work with. Kalina. That's what we're going to do. Well, we're going to do some other things that I have all kind of interests in my head, and I've already done a significant amount of things in my head. And so, Mr. Producer, Kermit Rhyming, thank you ever, ever so much. And then the person in the morning is Ali, and not Ali Butler. Are you able to connect with somebody? Kermit? Any luck, Kermit? Okay. Good evening, and how are you?
Good evening, Mr. Finlayson. How are you?
Oh, I am better than most. Not as good as you. I think I remember this voice. And I know none of us are shy, but go ahead.
No. This is Alexis Noel Hannah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So I just wanted to call. I was commenting on the Facebook live stream, but I wanted to just pop in and remind you, you know, track and field has been such a big part of your life, which means that it has been such a big part of our lives, our families' lives. And you did mention, you know, the show started when I had the first child 9 years ago. And one thing that you didn't mention was not necessarily for the show, but, you know, when the stadium was opening, that was our wedding.
Oh, yes.
They changed the date for the stadium to be opening. And
I couldn't go to the stadium.
And couldn't make it into the stadium because, you know, that was the same day as our wedding. But, you know, I'm sure if you were able to, you would have tried to be there as well at that time. So I know the track and field has been such a huge part of your life as well as ours. And the show has had an incredible run. It's, you know, sad to see it come to an end. But all things must end, so I congratulate you on what you have done thus far in the show. Like you said, you're definitely not done yet. You have all sorts of other things that you're going to be doing. But Track Robot, Alfie Simpson, as we know it on Guardian Radio, is done at this time. And I commend you for the run that you've had.
Thank you ever so much. Thank you ever so much.